This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Tuesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Sports Map Radio. Hope you had a good 4th of July weekend. If you did, I'm glad you're back with us this morning as we get back to the work week. And boy, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're still humming about the NBA news from last week that Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn. Well, where is he going to go? And what is Brooklyn going to get in return? They already have him under contract. Kyrie Irving has opted in. They can sit and wait. We'll discuss that. And also the larger picture surrounding the Kevin Durant, who was a college player at the University of Texas, was an outstanding young player at Oklahoma City, a thriving superstar in his early days, did a movie, and then he made that one decision to go to Golden State. And instantly he went from a very likable superstar to almost a villain. And in the way, has that continued along, even in his days in Brooklyn, and now at a period of time where he's asked for a trade yet again, and could be, if Brooklyn does pull the trigger, on his fourth team in his NBA career. We'll talk about that coming up. We'll also get into the LIV Golf Tour. And I know I talk about it a lot, but I find it seismic in the world of sports when something comes in and disrupts the norm. Now, many of you aren't golf fans, but I'll put it into some sort of context. Imagine if in the NBA, a lot of superstars went to go form their own basketball, professional basketball league, and it was working, and it was really drawing superstars. The event this weekend at Pumpkin Ridge in Oregon just showed me a number of signs to indicate that I think this thing's got some legs, not only legs, serious legs. And it's not just money. So it's just an endless pool of money that the Saudi Arabian government can dump into it. It seems to have caught on. Players seem to want to be a part of this. Fans came out in Portland, Oregon, despite a protest. I think this is going to get steam and it's going to get momentum and it's going to be around. And I think it's going to make a definite mark in the world of golf. We'll get to that coming up. But it was 4th of July yesterday, and there's only one event on the calendar that matters when it's the 4th, and that's the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But it was more than just a hot dog eating contest. We will tell you the details of what went on in Coney Island next. Tony D, Ron Culver, glad to be with you on a Tuesday. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, and glad to be with us as we return to work after the three-day 4th of July weekend. Hope you had a good 4th of July. Did you have a good 4th of July?
I did. Blew some stuff up.
Yeah, we did too. Good neighborhood fireworks display. Hung out with our neighbors. It was fun.
Ate well.
I know.
I
went food shopping with my wife over the week, but it was not just like our regular food shopping. My wife usually just kind of runs to the store and we'll grab a couple of things on the weekend. But this was like, we're going shopping for a while. We're buying condiments we've been out of, like really kind of stocking up. But she never wants me to go because when we're in the supermarket, she'll say like, go get a bottle of barbecue sauce. And I'll pick up like the $7 limited edition with unicorn tears barbecue sauce that they have. And she's like, no, I just get the generic bottle for like $1.15. And I'll go, but this has got a chef on it and he's basting ribs. She's like, oh, just get it. So she hates it when I go. But it was one of those things where we're like, we're going to go to three different places. And by the second place she goes, I will drop you off at the house if you want. Before we go to the second, I go, no. No, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to stay. I'm in it for the long haul. So we went to three different stores. We did the deep sort of, I will never do that again. It was, oh my goodness. I couldn't stand it. There were things I wanted. She's like, nope, put it away. I'm like, come on. No, we don't need it. I just said, you know what? I can't be a part of this. She hates it when I go food shopping with her. But I did it on Saturday. I did it. I was very proud of myself.
Felt like a kid, huh? Being denied everything.
I was. But nevertheless, so that was kind of fun. But All right, so here's the deal. Like, we have all these holidays throughout the calendar, and, you know, look, some of them are religious. So, you know, Christmas, for example, not everybody celebrates Christmas. Not everybody celebrates Easter. Not everybody celebrates Hanukkah. So we have a lot of religious, you know, religious holidays. We have some holidays that are of serious tone. We have Memorial Day, where we honor the dead servicemen and women who died for our country, and Veterans Day, which we honor the people who serve our country. We also have Mother's Day and Father's Day, which has sort of been created by, like, the card company, you know, to sell cards and whatnot. But we have 4th of July, and 4th of July is, you know, I know many people don't like the direction of the country. Many people wish the thing, but the beauty of the United States is you can change the country. You can lobby and go out and try to get votes and try to get elected representatives that agree with you into office. You can work hard as a citizen to try to change things about this country. And so I hope everybody had a 4th of July, regardless of how you feel with where the country's going and who's leading it and who's not leading it and all the political divide that we have in this country. But the one thing about 4th of July that I like is this ridiculous, dumb Nathan's hot dog eating contest. It is literally must-watch television for me, even though it's disgusting and you know, makes you kind of get a little sick when you see the way these guys are consuming hot dogs. Now, we were kind of having fun with it all last week, but yesterday was the first time in 2 years that they have been back at Coney Island. 2 years ago, during COVID, they were inside a baseball stadium concourse with plexiglass and limited people and judges, you know, safely distanced away while guys were consuming hot dogs. And then last year they did it inside the baseball stadium, and it was kind of a ticketed event. But yesterday they brought it back to, you know, to Coney Island, Surf and Stillwell, and everybody got to come out. It was jam-packed, and it was kind of the same Nathan's hot dog eating contest that you know and love. So I'm going to talk about this in real time because I think it's the best way to go about it, the way I was observing this. Maybe, Ron, you thought the same thing. If you know, I know you watched. Did you watch it yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Because you were, and I were tweeting some different things, so I thought you were.
I have a confession to make because, yeah, you know, I think on Friday we talked about, you know, how we just kind of stumble upon it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we stumble upon it and we're like, oh, you know what? I am going to watch this.
Right.
You don't really make it as appointment television. My confession is I made it appointment television for myself.
That's so funny. I did too. I knew exactly what time it came on. It came on at 11 o'clock.
Had to check what channel was going to be on.
I did too.
Did the whole thing. It was just like making sure. And then I kept checking back because I just had a random movie on for, you know, the time being. I was with my boys and, you know, I think it was a Star Wars marathon. So I just had it on Star Wars movies and but I kept flipping back like, okay, nope, they're not doing any pregame stuff. They're still doing, it's still Sports Center. So we'll come back later. But yeah, I made an appointment television.
That's what I did too. And so when I turn it on and then, so first of all, I am blown away. George Shea is a master carnival barker. Master carnival barker. And I kind of had to explain this to my wife and daughter who were kind of sitting on the couch with me. I'm like, this is a guy basically playing the role of a turn of the century 1900s carnival barker that you would find on a boardwalk in anywhere in America where they had boardwalks to try to get your attention. You know, come see the bearded lady, or come see the two-headed man, or come see the world's tallest man, or whatever little sort of side things that they used to have on the boardwalks way back in the day, you know, like during Prohibition and whatnot. And that was his role. So when every single eater was coming up, whether they had just barely got, you know, qualified and weren't really going to be a factor, he treated them like they were megastars. And I think that's the selling point of anything if you're going to do something and promote it boldly, right? Promote it boldly and don't apologize for it. They think competitive eating is a sport. They think their eaters are athletes. They think that they are some of the best trained athletes in the world. Like, just say it, and just maybe people will laugh at you, but never, ever apologize for what you want it to be. And look at the crowd. Look at the result of it. It's on ESPN. People were commenting on it on Twitter all day. And so I'm going to talk about this in real time because so John Anderson what's the other Shea? There's George Shea, and then there was the other one. His brother was doing the commentary. So they get all of the eaters in, and they do their pose on the thing, and they bring them on down. And then Joey Chestnut's the last one, and he's got a torn tendon or something. He's on crutches. So he's limping to his spot, but he says, I can stand, I can do this.
Hold on, but first, are you talking about when he was on the rise yet?
Yeah, when he was on the rise, when he had him at the top. That was fantastic.
That was awesome.
Really amazing. I mean, they know how to sell this. They know how to sell it. So Joey Chestnut comes down, and he's eating they start the contest. Boom, off we go. They're eating the hot dogs. Now, remember, I'm doing this in real time the way I'm watching it on TV. So as it's going along, and Chestnut has this big lead. Now, remember, the over-under for this competition for hot dogs for him was 74.5. They wanted to see if he could get to 75. That's kind of where Caesars and everybody who was taking bets on this thing had it at, 75 hot dogs. But there was some point within the 10 minutes I went, whoa, 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 he's way down from pace. He is way down. And I couldn't figure out why. And he's just eating and he's eating. And I'm trying to explain this to my wife, who's rolling her eyes at this. I'm like, he's trying to get to 75, but he's like 53 right now with like 2 minutes left. It's like he's nowhere close to getting this. And this is where they start to slow down a little bit. So he was averaging 8 dogs a minute. I don't think he's going to get even close to 70. And he keeps going, he keeps going, and finally gets to 63. He still wins by 20, or 20, something like maybe 50. Actually, I think it was like 15. Then the second guy had 47 hot dogs. So he still wins by a comfortable margin, but I'm like, whoa, that is 12 hot dogs less than what they thought he was going to consume.
Yeah, and then, you know, the thoughts go through your mind. It's like, all right, well, maybe did he peak last year and he's on the downside, or is
that's what I thought,
you know, or is it you know, maybe, you know, because a lot of times he jumps up and down, you know, he can't do that. Is that part of his game?
So I kept thinking, man, the injury, could that have affected him?
Yeah.
The heat, but he's done it in hot weather before. Doesn't seem to have fazed him. And it's been boiling days that he's done it. He's won this thing 14 times.
15.
So 15 times
now. Yeah, yesterday was number
14 prior. So he's not done it on balmy 71-degree days on Coney Island. He has done plenty of these where the sun is just baking and everybody, it's boiling hot and everything like that. So I didn't think it was the heat. I thought it could have been the injury, but he said, no, I can eat. I kept going, 63, that's way low. That is way low.
I love how we're saying that. 63, come on, you can do better,
on,
Joey.
Right? So then it was not until later.
A couple hours later,
right. I mean, because I'm trying to remember when I saw it. We were out and about, so it was a good 2 hours at least when I saw it on Twitter. Some protester ran up on stage, got right in front of Joey Chestnut,
held up
some sign, bumped him. Chestnut stopped eating, grabbed him by the neck, threw him down on the ground before security had to come and take him away.
It was fantastic.
He's eating hot dogs, and then a protester comes up, and he just stops, whips him, grabs him, and throws him down.
Cost him like a good 10-15 seconds.
Right, cost him a good amount of time, and then he had to get his rhythm back up again. But here's why I said earlier, I had to say it in real time. This wasn't shown at all during the telecast. It wasn't even talked about during the telecast. They didn't even bring it up.
No mentions at all. Had no clue.
No clue. Now, a lot of times when you see like a streaker running on the field or something like that in a football game, announcers may not show it, but they kind of say something about it. You know, like they're not all Kevin Harlan on the radio doing play-by-play
of
a streaker getting tackled.
A lot of times, you know, say it's like baseball, right? All of a sudden, they're just showing video of the right fielder doing nothing. And so they explain why they're just using camera 4 at this point.
Because they don't want to encourage people for doing that to get thinking they'll get on TV. So I understand why the people who are producing this cut away immediately, went to something else, got it taken care of, and then went back. But they never addressed it. They never addressed it. This guy won by 15 and tackled a protester at the same time. Marvelous day at Coney Island.
Legend.
Okay, one other thing. Tongue in cheek, but bear with me on this. America, step up your game when it comes to hot dog eating. This is getting ridiculous now. I love myself some Joey Chestnut, but this is insane. This is 15 times he's won every one of these but one since 2006.
Yeah,
like The second place guy ate 47 and a half hot dogs. That's nowhere near being able to compete with this guy.
Not even close.
Not even close. Now, when Tiger Woods came to golf, he set a bar that the golfers at the time were like, I ain't touching that. There's no way I'm going 12 under at a U.S. Open. I barely go even par at an Open. You want me to go 12 under at an Open? This guy's going to win everything. And it was the same thing when him and Kobayashi came on board in the hot dog eating. They got to 50, and everybody went, whoa, like 25 wins this thing. What, are we crazy? 30 wins this thing. 50? 55? 60? 64? 67? Like, that's the old-timers. The young generation, though, the Rory McIlroys, the Jordan Spieths, the Jordan Thomases in golf, Justin Thomas in golf, they saw the bar early as they were training and said, that's what we got to shoot. That's the man to beat. If we're going to be on this tour, that's the numbers we have to get. And then they started winning majors. Who's the young guys that can keep up with this guy?
There aren't any.
There aren't any. There isn't a young generation that is like, hey, I was 12 when Joey Chestnut, I saw him win. I've been training. I can get to 72. None of them can. None of them can. You know who might be able to do it one day? Miki Sudo,
right.
The women's champion. She got 40. That's only 7.5 down, second place. She might have finished third or fourth in the men's competition. Come on, men. Stop. Let's give this guy a little bit of a run. He's going to win 50 of these things. He's going to be 80, still wolfing down 60 hot dogs.
I mean, that was the thing, right? Because, I mean, you and I, it was fun because you and I thought the same things. Like, oh, 63. Still gross. Still amazing.
Right, still amazing.
But at the same time, it's like, all right, well, maybe this is, you know, the downside of his career. And, you know, still 63. Even if it's the downside of his career, easily, if he keeps lowering the bar just a little bit from 63, he's you know, stays in the 50s for a while. He's still winning because no one even touched 50.
Nobody could do it. Nobody could do it. They had a protester come up. He paused eating to tackle a protester and get rid of him, and then continued to go back to eating and still won this thing by a comfortable margin.
Flawless headlock, by the way.
Oh, I know.
I mean, brilliant. He didn't even hesitate for a second. I thought he snapped his neck.
I did too.
The way he whipped him around, I was like, oh my God, that guy's dead.
Somebody said eating hot dogs and murdering a man all in a span of 10 minutes. Yeah, I mean, he really did. He took that guy down. It's cold. Good job. Good, really good job by Joey Chestnut. All right, coming back. We'll talk about the LIV Golf Tour and what a success it was in Portland. And maybe I've changed my tune on this. That's next as we continue with the Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Good Tuesday to you. Hope you all had a safe 4th of July. Over the weekend, there was the John Deere Classic on the PGA Tour. Now, the John Deere Classic is not a huge event. The winner, though, JT Poston, got an invite into the British Open in St. Andrews. And that sometimes happens to these guys that if they're... It happened to Jordan Spieth, for example. He was 19 years old. He won the John Deere in 2013, I think. And then he got an invite into the at Muirfield for the British Open. It's like, it's awesome. Like, next thing you know, you're changing plans and you're booking flights to England and you're in the Open and you're just, it can happen. JT Poston is going to go do that. But the real story this weekend was the LIV Golf Tour, not of what actually happened. In fact, I think it was Brendan Grace that won. I couldn't care less who won. But what happened was that it seemed when it was all said and done that a number of people started to look at it and said, okay, making fun of this thing, thinking that this thing is not that big of a deal, thinking that this thing doesn't have a lot of legs, those days are over. This thing is going to make it. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. Is it going to make it? Who knows? I don't know the money people behind this, how committed they are to this. Maybe they want to do it for a couple of years and then they do something else with their money. Maybe they want to do this forever and make it a self-sustaining thing. I don't know. But I do know a couple of things. It's not going away anytime soon. It seems to be an attractive place now for golfers that have a problem with the PGA Tour or whatever tour they're on, including in Europe. Three, the idea that no one's going to come out to this and no one's going to watch these stars play golf, whether they're giving tickets away or they're selling them cheap or I don't know. But for all of the people that were saying the city, the town, Portland doesn't want them. Too many protests outside. Pumpkin Ridge is a nice golf course, but members were quitting left and right. They're not going to embrace this. That's wrong. They did. They came out. Now, again, I have no idea what LIV Golf was doing. Maybe they were giving half the tickets away. Maybe they gave all the tickets away. I don't know. But I know there was enough people there to make this viable. And Greg Norman basked in the sort of rowdy nature that the crowd seemed to want to get into. They were talking about this is golf but fun, right? And they wanted the crowd to have fun. Norman's giving away beers. He's laughing with people. They're cheering him. There's a rebellious nature to this, even though many people who know where the money's coming from are kind of bothered by where the money is coming from. But there also seems to be genuine enjoyment by some of the players, including the big name players, as to what they're doing. And now they're adding players all the time. Now, my question has always been from the very beginning, this is only a 48-man tournament. They've got 12 teams in the team format. I barely know how that works. But if I'm a young golfer, I'm out of college, I want to play on the PGA Tour and I can qualify for the PGA Tour. But I'm on this thing. I'm 22. I'm not the greatest no name, but I got game. I can play. When Pat Perez joins this thing, or Bryson DeChambeau joins this thing, and I get kicked out, where do I go? Can I go to the PGA Tour? Because they just said anybody that's on this thing, if you get you're suspended from the tour. Well, I'm not guaranteed a slot on the LIV Tour if it's a 48-man tournament and they start bringing in megastars. And they are bringing in stars. They're coming in. Henrik Stenson is the latest, I think, to join this venture. But I think the PGA Tour is in a little bit of trouble here. They are. They don't. I mean, despite Jim Nance on the broadcast, or Rory McIlroy, or Justin Thomas, or even Jordan Spieth, Tiger Woods. Sorry, you don't need to beat the PGA Tour. You just need to carve out your own piece of the pie. Doesn't matter how big that slice is. If you're happy with the slice, then you're going to make it. This isn't a burger war. There's room for Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's. And a Chick-fil-A selling chicken sandwiches. There's room for this. And it bothers me because I'm one of the first critics of this thing. But here's the thing. When you have an event and people come to watch it and people are laughing and carrying on and Norman's giving away beer and people are saying they had a great time and you're bringing superstars to my town, and I don't get to see these guys on a normal basis. But guys, guess what? When you have all that sort of positive stuff coming out of a tournament, guess what? That's sports washing. That's why they're doing it in the first place. They're doing it so you'll have a good feeling about what product they're putting out. I told you, as a fan of Formula One, that's what they're doing with the race there in Jeddah. And when they build the brand new track that they're going to build and have a permanent race there, that's what will happen. Broadcasters, media types, they'll all go. They'll say what a great venue it is. They'll say what a great event it was, great race, exciting. And they'll move on to the next venue. And nobody will even think about who's behind it, why they're behind it, and what they're trying to cover up. It's the same thing with this golf. If I'm the PGA Tour, it was okay to blow it off at the very beginning, thinking it was going to go nowhere. But what I saw this weekend, the way Norman was reacting to the fans and the way the fans were reacting to him, the way people were having a genuine good time, the smiles on all those faces, knowing that they were making that big dollars, that big money, and having a great time doing golf their way, the way they wanted to do it, and getting paid way more than anybody on the tour is for their event. Yeah, you know what? It's going to make it. It's going to make it. I'm sorry to say. And when they go to their next event, it'll be big.
Wake-Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake-Up Call on Sports Map Radio. So you know what my wife and I do every 4th of July? We don't do it like, it's not like we go, hey, you know what time it is? We just have it on TV and we'll just sit around and probably watch it. Maybe not the whole thing, but we'll watch it. And that's Independence Day.
Yep.
Independence Day is on somewhere. It's like TNT or whatever. And my wife is a big disaster movie fan, so she's like, we got to watch it. And, you know, she throw it on. And we always throw it on 4th of July. That movie cracks me up every time I see it, man. Every time I see it. Because I watch it and I go, this was such a gigantic hit. This was the summer movie in like 96.
Yep.
Whenever it came out. It was such a big deal. And it, the lines of that are just, they're like silly funny in a way. Like it's just.
It's they're not taking themselves too serious.
Right.
You know, where you see other disaster movies or other, you know, action films like this, like they take it seriously.
I know. And just there's like an over exaggeration of the characters, which just makes me chuckle. Like
yeah,
the
Judd
president.
Judd Hirsch.
My God. You, what an accent. You want to be anyway, if it wasn't for my David.
Yeah.
Area 51, Area 51. You knew. Great character, man. Great character.
I was like, what? You think it costs $20,000 for a toothbrush?
Yeah, right.
$50,000 for a toilet?
What is it when they're praying and he says, I'm not Jewish? He goes, nobody's perfect?
Yep.
But the president, man, Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Oh, God, is that. That guy is dripping with cheese, man. When he's. They're. Like, he goes, we got your jumpsuit ready. And then Robert Loggia comes over and goes, Mr. President, ask what's going on. He goes, I'm a fighter pilot, Will. I belong in the air. It just still holds up, man. Just this cheesy line.
It does.
There, by the way, I don't care if you are the Red Baron. There is no way the President of the United States is going up in a fighter jet.
Yep.
When the aliens come, they are never letting the president get in a combat plane.
But Tony, they were down pilots. They didn't have enough pilots.
They needed everybody.
They put a crop duster up in an F-18, and he was able to fly it and win the day.
That's right.
Never flying high sophisticated jet.
Did he even give the power to anybody? Did he say to somebody before he left, by the way, I'm probably not going to survive this because they've got 1,000 of those little tiny planes. But you're in charge.
Yeah, who
you're the
is?
President. Who was in charge?
Because remember, the vice president and the joint chiefs are all dead.
They're all dead. They got blown up in the helicopter.
No, at NORAD.
NORAD. That's right. I'm sorry.
Because the aliens knew about the underground base in the Cheyenne Mountains.
They sure did. They knew exactly what that was. Golly, he never appointed anybody. It was a lawless country. Rudderless country while he was up there in the combat jet.
Maybe it was Robert Loggia, and then if you're him, like, oh, I'm going to be president. All right.
Mr. President, be careful up there, but, you know, something should happen, which is likely. I'll be more than happy to take over the country. Golly. And then what a plan. What a plan for 1996. Jeff Goldblum was going to hook up with the host, an internet host.
Alien host.
The alien host. We barely knew what connecting to a host was in 96. We were still.
I'm gonna give it a cold.
I'm gonna give it a cold. Yeah. They went up there and hooked up and then gave it a virus. Like we barely were in the internet culture back then.
What I loved was that for 50 years they had this spaceship and knew nothing about it. And within a couple hours, Jeff Goldblum had already figured out how to hack it.
He did. Yeah, figured out how to hack it. And I liked how Jeff Goldblum and his dad got into the White House, like, to talk to the president, like, to tell him, like, hey, this is a countdown clock, et cetera. And then when everything falls apart, they just let him on the plane.
Of course.
They just let him, come on in. Like, they didn't go, security clearance, you know, I'm sorry, we got to leave you behind, but this is really only for essential personnel, not you and your dad. Like, they just let them on. Come on up.
I'm
Fly
confused.
With us on Air Force One.
What's her role? I can't remember.
Oh,
I can't remember
the
actress's
wife?
Name. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she was like...
She's a press secretary?
Chief of staff or something? I don't know. No, no, the chief of staff was the guy that... The guy he yelled at them for not telling him about... Yeah, he fired him because he didn't tell him about Area 51. Which, by the way... is the reason you don't tell the president about Area 51 if there is an Area 51.
Yeah. Plausible deniability. I learned
plausible
that. That's a phrase I'd never heard
exactly.
of.
Exactly. That's how I learned that. And it made total sense. The second he said it, it made total sense. I'm like, yes. If you ask the president about Area 51, he can say there's no such thing because they don't tell him that. It's great. Every year I watch that thing, and every year I go, what? This movie... This movie's one of the all-time summer blockbusters. I think the thing that sold me when I was probably going to see it anyway because it was Will Smith in the 90s. You pretty much just saw anything Will Smith was in the 90s. But they literally blew up cities. Like most
yep.
disaster movies were disaster movies, but it didn't end in just total mass destruction of millions of people. They weren't afraid to go, no. We're wiping out major cities. Like, millions of people are going to die. You normally got, like, all right, okay. Like, even in, the asteroid movies.
Armageddon?
What was the other one? Deep Impact?
Deep Impact.
That was one I was thinking of. Even in Deep Impact, like, they were talking about the asteroid hitting and it was just going to flood, like, almost the entire United States up into Denver. But they broke it off just enough to get the tsunami, but it only... went up to like the hills.
The asteroid burnt up more than right. they probably anticipated.
That's right, right. When the other one, the size of Texas, was going to land, well, a little fragment landed and blew up like Paris.
Yeah.
But it didn't destroy like half the planet. But this one was like, no, we're blowing up New York, all of it. And all these, Los Angeles,
LA.
All of it. LA, they threw a nuclear bomb at Houston and it blew up and nothing happened to the ship, but city was decimated.
Houston's done.
So that was Independence Day. Oh my God. And then you know what? So our neighbor that came over, she asked, she goes, did they ever make a sequel? I go, yeah, years and years later. It wasn't good, but when I do remember seeing it and thinking, I know this isn't good, but I'm just here for the party. And it was okay. Like it was,
yeah.
You went in with the idea of this is silly fun. Just enjoy it. Don't take it seriously. It's just a goofy, fun, good guys win movie. Then just enjoy it for what it is. Don't think logically about it or anything of that nonsense. And I thought it was okay.
I think what bothered, because I watched the sequel too. I mean, you know, the new cast of characters, they were fun. Like the new pilots and stuff like that. They were all cool. Like, you know, Will Smith's stepson grows up to be a fighter pilot. I'm fine with that. You know, that makes all the sense in the world. I hated the way they treated Bill Pullman though.
I know.
Then the second one, he's like a recluse, like just a bum ex-president who is having issues. And it's like, okay, guys, you know.
Still, like literally still, like having PTSD of what the worst thing that could ever happen to a president, losing, I don't know, 10 American cities to a space alien attack.
Right.
I think you're allowed to grow a beard and walk around in a cane and doing mathematics. Whatever else, what he was doing to try to figure it out. Yeah, but you're right. They didn't treat him all that good. But Judd Hirsch was back in that one for the sequel.
Yep.
Still.
Jeff
doing
Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah.
Vivica Fox was in it until she, you know.
Yeah, what happened to her?
The aliens came back. They blew up a building. Her son went to try to rescue her as the building collapsed just before she threw, like, I think a pregnant woman on the helicopter.
You are amazing.
I do remember
with your memory.
I do remember that scene.
Oh my God!
Because I didn't think that was Vivica Fox because her face has kind of changed.
Yeah, no doubt.
Over the years.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they're like, oh, that was Vivica Fox. I'm like,
Will Smith, did he die?
No, his character died at some
died?
Point.
Died? That's too bad, you know?
Because they didn't reprise
if you're making
character.
an Independence Day 2, you go,
Will Smith, here's a blank check. You fill it in with whatever you want to fill it in. But we can't do this movie without you. We just want to, even if you just show up as a cameo, even if you want to tell you, like, you're in the hospital or you're in a wheelchair from something and you just want to give your son advice on how to beat the aliens, we don't care. You want to have a full role where you're participating fully in the movie? Great. If you just want, but we cannot have you not in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be in this in some way, shape, or form. You know, like what they do with the dinosaur people in the Jurassic Park movie. They told Sam Neill, they're like, we need you. I'm done with the dinosaur movies. Here's a check. All right, I'll show up. No problem. Just show me, tell me where to go. Laura Dern, same thing. Jeff Goldblum, same thing. And I brought this up to my wife. I said, he was in two mega movies in the early to mid 90s, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
You could not ask to be in two bigger films in the early 90s than Jurassic Park and Independence Day. Major roles in those movies. That was a big deal back then. But man, it was, I don't know, every year we watch it, I just go, man, I wouldn't say it holds up, but it kind of does. I don't know. It kind of does. So, Independence Day. Anyway, as what did the president say? Independence Day has a different meaning now, or something like that. Mankind will have a different meaning now. It was going to be Independence Day for the world.
Yeah, we're not fighting for tyranny or oppression, but from annihilation.
For annihilation. And by the way, you get Robert Loggia in a movie. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
How great is Robert Loggia?
Underrated for most of his career.
Yeah, I would say so. He was in a commercial once where they did, like, it was a goofy thing where he had Robert Loggia doing something, and it was really funny, the commercial. But I remember going, like, that guy, yeah, I would say that. Played, oh man, just that gruff military guy.
Yep.
He's awesome.
Awesome. Think of the wide range, too. I mean, he was in Big.
He was in Big, yeah. He was in Big.
He's the CEO, right?
Yeah. He played, he was in The Sopranos, played mm-hmm. Feach, LaManna.
I liked him in The Replacements.
Replacements, that's right. I totally forgot about that. He was in The Replacements. That's right. Yeah, Robert Loggia. So anyway, that's our little mini talk of Independence Day, the movie, the day after the 4th of July. All right, we'll continue along on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call. Good Tuesday to you on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Michael, hey, when you guys talk movies and pop culture, it's one of the main reasons why I listen to your show. Well done, gentlemen. I like it too.
Well,
I like when we do that.
Okay. No more sports.
Yeah, I like when we do that. For those of you who maybe just started listening to this, that's what we do. We do sports. We do pop culture. We'll talk movies. We'll talk TV shows. It's kind of a mixed bag.
We get off on weird tangents.
We get off on weird tangents.
Down rabbit holes we didn't plan on.
I know. Especially on Throwback Thursday. That's the part of the flow of what we try to do. A lot of shows, you know, don't get me wrong, I have a beautiful outline that sometimes I crumple up and throw in the trash.
Except on Thursdays.
Except on Thursdays, where I just let it go wherever it may land. So, but we do want to. Robert Loggia was not in The Replacements. He was in Necessary Roughness.
We knew movie. He was a coach.
And that's the movie with Scott Bakula, but Kathy Ireland was in that movie as well, the swimsuit model of the 80s and 90s.
God.
Yeah. Kathy Ireland was my favorite.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, the number of swimsuits.
That's an easy thing to say.
Yeah. Well, some were a little Elle McPherson.
Well, I mean, I had a huge crush on Christie Brinkley.
Christie Brinkley.
I mean,
Brinkley,
who wouldn't? Yeah. But Kathy Ireland, like late 80s, Kathy Ireland, that was, I don't know, those eyes.
Yeah, she really, she had some great eyes. But she played a kicker. She was a soccer player.
Yeah.
She was a kicker. And she had this, what was the big Samoan boyfriend?
Samoan. I don't know if he wasn't the boyfriend yet.
Not yet, but he liked her a lot.
Yeah.
And she was taking a shower and he blocked the door to the locker room shower. So nobody could go in there and see her taking a shower.
And he didn't turn around once.
He did not turn around once. He protected her from those crazy college kids.
You know, I mean, that almost reminds me of that scene within History of the World where Mel Brooks is going through and, like, you know, trying to figure out which, you know, making sure all the guards are eunuchs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. And he's like, that guy's dead. But that's what that kind of reminds me of. I was like, okay, is he a man? Because he's not even turning around. No, how do you not turn around? Not Kathy Ireland is naked around. Behind you.
That's right. Yep, Kathy Ireland. Was that a good movie? I don't remember if it was a good movie.
Sure.
Necessary Roughness. Yeah, it was good.
I think it's one of those, like, it becomes like a cult classic, but it's not really a true cult classic. But
right.
If you're into sports movies, you've happened upon that movie at some point.
No doubt. No doubt. Goodness. So anyway, that we just wanted to make a correction as we did our little talk on Independence Day, the movie. Again, every year, I don't watch it any other time. It's not one of those movies I watch. Like, if I see it on, for some reason, because it's 4th of July, it's like, all right, Independence Day. And I wouldn't even say it's like one of my favorite movies. It's not. It's just something that is just on and I just
But
watch
is it your favorite 4th of July movie?
I guess so. Is there another 4th of July movie I should be watching?
Born on the 4th of July?
Yeah, Born on the 4th of July. What about Jaws? Because Jaws is the 4th of July movie, right?
That is a 4th of July movie.
Remember
that?
You know, yeah, Chief. We got the
Sandlot has a 4th of July scene.
That's right. That's right. So,
but real quick, I actually went to the premiere for Independence Day.
Did you really?
Not the one with the cast. Although there were some cast members at the premiere that I went to, but mine was more for the crew.
Oh, very cool.
I had a family friend who worked on movies all the time, and he hated going to them, so I used to get all the tickets.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And listen, sometimes you have to look at a movie in the context of when it was released and what it was. I don't remember anybody saying that was silly and dumb back in 96. I think everybody liked it. I think it was, for what it was, I think people genuinely enjoyed it. It was a good time at the movies in the mid-90s. Maybe we kind of chuckle at it now, but back then it was kind of a big deal.